How was the breakfast? Okay. And everyone is well rested. And everyone prepared their offerings for Srila Prabhupada. Okay, how many of you have written it? And how many of you haven't written so far? Okay. Okay, so most of you have written. Thank you. And so we'll have, this evening, we'll have Prabhupada Katha, starting at 6:30 or what time is the? 7, yeah, right, 7 o'clock. And so, and everyone is well conversant with the Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and Radha Krishna. So who is Krishna? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is Sri Ramchandra? Also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The difference is, Ramchandra is Maryada Purushottam, Krishna is Lila Purushottam. Ramchandra is an avatar, Sri Krishna Chandra is the avatari. He is the, and Ramchandra's pastimes is to establish the Maryada of Dharma, and Krishna performs his pastimes to enjoy with his devotees, Leela Purushottam. So Ramayana by Valmiki has 7 khandas. You can say 7 sections, 7 sections. And yesterday we just discussed only one of them, which is known as Bal Khanda. The other 6 khandas are Ayodhya Khanda, Aranya Khanda, Kishkindha Khanda, Sundar Khanda, Yuddha Khanda, and Uttar Khanda. So we have how many days left? Today is the 2nd day, right? So we have 3 more days. So today, tomorrow is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We have only 4 days, including today. And we have 6 khandas left. So what we'll try to do is, today we will try to cover Ayodhya Khanda and Aranya Khanda. Ayodhya Khanda is the happenings in Ayodhya, the capital city, and Aranya Khanda is in the forest. Ramchandra goes to the forest. And then Kishkindha Khanda. Kishkindha is the capital of the monkeys. And what happened there? And then Sundar Khanda. Sundar Khanda, Sundar Khanda literally means the beautiful chapter. Hanuman's going to find Sita. So Sundar Khanda. So tomorrow, today we will try to cover Ayodhya Khanda and Aranya Khanda. Tomorrow we will try to cover Kishkindha Khanda and Sundar Khanda. Then day after we will try to cover Yuddha Khanda, which is the main section of Ramayana. Practically almost 1/3 of Ramayana is the Yuddha Khanda. Very elaborate descriptions of the battle between Ramchandra and Ravan. And then Uttar Khanda. Then after that, what happened? So let us see how we can cover all these remaining section of Ramayana, which we just started yesterday. Sundarkanda also is a long chapter. Anyway, so where did the Balkanda end yesterday? Ramchandra got married to Sita. On the way back to Ayodhya, had an encounter with Parashuram, and Parashuram was became bereft of his power invested by the Lord. Ramchandra took it back. The Supreme Personality of Godhead invested that power to Parashuram, and then now he took that power back from him. Then Parashuram begged that he could just go back to Mahendra Mountain and spend his time there, performing austerities. Parashuram is still there. He is one of the individuals who has a long life. And so after that, they came back. Ramchandra got married to Sita Devi, Lakshman to Urmila, Bharat to Mandavi, and Shatrughna to Shutakirti. And so they were spending their time happily in Ayodhya. Then one day Dasarath felt that he was getting very old, and he decided to coronate Ramchandra, appoint Ramchandra as his successor and retire from his royal responsibilities. So generally, in the Vedic culture, they always would consult with the senior members. You remember yesterday we discussed when Dasharatha decided to perform the horse sacrifice. What did he do? He called his spiritual masters, Vasishtha and Bamdev. He called his ministers. He called the important citizens. He called the important members of the family. And then he expressed his desire. And when they gave the approval, he performed the sacrifice. He went ahead with the ceremony. So about Ram's installation in the throne, also Dasarath invited everybody, asked everybody to come. And so when Dasarath expressed his idea, his desire, then everybody was very happy, because Ram was so popular among everyone. He was endowed with all good qualities. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And Ramchandra was the eldest son. So it is the Vedic custom that the eldest son succeeds the father, and the other younger brothers assist him. That's the Vedic culture. But in this case, there was a little hitch. The hitch was that Dasarath did not have any child. From Kaushalya, his first wife, he didn't get any child. His second wife, Sumitra, he also didn't get any child. Then he decided to marry the princess of Kekaya, the daughter of King Ashwapati, Kaikeyi. And she was extremely beautiful, young girl. And when Dasarath wanted to marry her, her father made a condition that her son would become the king. And at that time Dasarath agreed, because thinking that there was no other son, no other children, so if a son is born of Kaikeyi, then he could become the king. So Dasharatha had that that thing at the back of his mind. Therefore, he probably had some hesitation in that, and that's why he was hurrying it, that Ramchandra's installation. At that time, it so happened that Bharat and Shatrughna were away in their maternal uncle's house. And at that time, thus it was decided that Ramchandra should be installed as a crown prince, as a successor. And everyone agreed. And actually that consideration practically disappeared from everyone's mind, because the custom is the eldest son becomes the successor. Now, the arrangement was being made for Ramchandra's coronation. And the next day, Dasharatha decided that the next day only, Ram should be coronated. And all the arrangements was being made. And from the rooftop, Kaikeyi had a maidservant named Manthara. She was a hunchback woman. Like, she came along with her from her father's house. So this is another custom. In the Vedic culture, sometimes along with the bride, her entourage also comes to her in-law's house. And so Manthara was one of the entourage who came. Actually, Manthara was an apsara. Originally, Manthara was an apsara. And demigods actually posted her to accelerate Ravan's death. You know, they made these plans, like it was a, and she was a part of that plan. So, Manthara was standing on the rooftop and she saw all these elaborate arrangements were going on, decorating the city, and people seemed to be so festive. And so nearby there was a maidservant of Kaushala. So Manthara asked, "What's happening? Why is this festivity?" So Kaikeyi's maidservant told, "Oh, you don't know that Ram is being installed. Ram is being crowned as the successor of Dasharatha tomorrow." So when Manthara heard that, she became extremely upset. So she immediately ran to Kaikeyi and told her, "Do you know what's happening?" Then Kaikeyi said, "What?" He said that tomorrow they're arranging for Ram's coronation. So Kaikeyi became very happy to hear that. She immediately took out her one of her most precious necklaces and said, "Thanks for giving me the good news." So Manthara just took that necklace and she threw it away. "Saying, you stupid woman, you are rejoicing when arrangement is being made for your destruction. Do you know what will happen if Ram becomes the king? You will lose all your importance. Bharat will have to become Ram's slave. And you won't have any recognition. You have to become a maidservant of Kaushala." And in this way, and Kaikeyi was surprised. "Manthara, what happened to you? Why are you speaking like that? Ram treats me like his own mother. And I also see No difference between Bharat and Ram. So if Ram becomes the king, it'll simply be Bharat's good fortune, because he'll have the opportunity to assist him. But Manthara kept on vitiating Kaikeyi's mind, saying all the unfortunate things that's going to happen to her. And as a result of that, Kaikeyi's mind also started to change. Then at one point, Kaikeyi asked what to do. Like you are just saying that, but the thing is that Ram is naturally the successor to the throne. Then Manthara said, there is a way. You remember when King Dasharath was fighting against the demons on behalf of the demigods, he was fatally wounded. And at that time, you rescued him from the battlefield and you nursed him so nicely that he was so pleased with you that he wanted to grant you two boons. But at that time you told him, what's the point in asking for anything from you, because you have already given me everything. And so then at that time Dasharath told you that in future if you ever need anything, you can ask from me. So now the time has come to ask for those two boons. For the first boon, you asked that Dasharath would become, the Bharat would become the king, and Ram should be sent to exile in the forest for 14 years. And now you just go to the sulking chamber. They used to have the palace used to have a sulking chamber. So you take off all your ornaments and your fancy sari and dress, put on a worn out dirty cloth, and you lie on the ground, and then Dasharath will come asking what is happening, what happened to you, and at that time you declare what you want. And make sure that you do not lose your resolve. Remain firm. Don't become sentimental. So make sure that Dasharath is forced to grant these two boons. So Kaikeyi did act according to her plan. And when Dasharath came back. Actually, Kaikeyi was Dasharath's favorite. Sometimes it has been described, or less intelligent people consider that it was a weakness in Dasharath's part, that because of his attachment to his beautiful young wife, that he succumbed to her pressure. And it was a weakness in Dasharath's part. Anyway, but the real, as we discussed yesterday, what we are actually discussing about? We are actually discussing about a drama. And see how perfectly it is written. All the arrangements are perfect. What is the purpose of this drama? Purpose of the drama is to kill Ravan. And Ravan is not an easy one to kill. No one else but the Supreme Personality of Godhead could kill Ravan. Now we can even go back to Srimad Bhagavatam. Who is Ravan? Who is Ravan? Jai. Ravan is Jai. And Kumbhakarna is Vijay. Who are they? They were the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha. So Ram, Ramchandra or Narayan, rather Joy and Vijay one day felt that Narayan doesn't get to experience the mellow of chivalry, Bidaras. So they decided, they just felt that if they could give the taste of Bidaras, experience him, make him the taste of Bidaras. That means that can be done only by fighting. But in Vaikuntha, who will fight with Narayan? No one will fight with Narayan in Vaikuntha. Therefore, the special arrangement had to be made. And the special arrangement was, the four Kumaras came to Vaikuntha, and Joy and Vijay blocked their way to Vaikuntha, and as a result of that, the four Kumaras became very upset, and they cursed him, cursed them. And as a result of that, in Satyayuga, Jai and Vijay came as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. In Dwapar Yuga, and in Treta Yuga, Ravan and Kumbhakarna. So as Ravan and Kumbhakarna, they are going to fight with Ram and be killed by him. So that was the arrangement. And it's and this is the drama around that episode. So Ram and Kumbhakarna, Ravan and Kumbhakarna were became the opponents, and to give Ramchandra the feel of Bidaras. The rasa, the mellow that is experienced out of fighting. It's a special mellow that is experienced by the heroes, the warriors, those who are able to fight. Like the Kshatriyas, they enjoy, they look forward to this fight. And in that fight, they even lose their lives. And that is the that is a Kshatriya. So, anyway, ultimately it's all a drama. But this drama is so perfectly arranged. So, Ramchandra then had to go to the forest. He had to go to the forest, otherwise how will he kill Ravan? So these are the development of the drama. So Kaikeyi then finally told Dasarath. When Dasarath came looking for her, he found that she was not in her palace. So he started to look for her, and then he finally found her in the sulking chamber. And she is lying on the floor. All her ornaments were just strewn around the room. And she is wearing a worn out cloth, disheveled, crying, sobbing. So Dasarath asked, "What happened?" And then finally she disclosed what happened. And before telling, she made sure. She said that, "I will tell you only when you assure me that you are going to fulfill my desire." He said, "Which desire of yours I didn't fulfill? So why are you acting like this?" And so in this way she made Dasarath promise so that he doesn't deny her. But when she told Dasarath, Dasarath, just by hearing that, he fainted. That Ram has to be banished to the forest. And Bharat has to be installed on the throne. He pleaded and pleaded and pleaded to Koike, but Koike was unwavered. The next morning, Koike, when the minister, Sumantra, came to make all the arrangements, he came to report that Vasishtha Muni has made all the arrangements for Ram's coronation. And so when the minister came to report to Dasarath, then Dasarath apparently was very upset. So Kaikeyi then told Sumantra that he should go and call Ram. Then Ram came to Dasarath. Dasarath couldn't say anything to Ram. So Koike actually broke the news that your father wants that Bharat should become the king and you should go to the forest. You should be banished to the forest for 14 years. So then Ram said, fine. He was so detached. Naturally, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he said, fine, it's all right. But Dasarath said that, Ram, don't act on that. You arrest me and take over the kingdom. He said, I am giving you the thing. Like, you arrest me, put me into prison, don't listen to these words. You go against me, take over the kingdom. And Ram said, no, I'm not interested in the kingdom. So let Bharat become the king. I would be happy to go to the forest. And Dasarath kept on urging Ram to comply to this arrangement. He was duty bound in a way because he gave Kaikeyi the words. But then when Ram was adamant, Ram was determined to go to the forest, then Dasarath told that, okay, Sumantra, you make arrangements that one Akshohini soldiers and all the merchants and the hunters and the servants will accompany Ram to the forest so that Ram can live comfortably there. Then Kaikeyi was opposed to that idea. He said that if everything is taken out of the kingdom, then what will be left for Bharat? Then Ram said, no, I don't want to go to forest to lead a comfortable life. Let all this be here. And then Dasarath himself wanted to go to the forest with Ram. But Ram persuaded him not to do that. Then Ram went to Kaushalya, his mother, broke the news to her. Kaushalya was naturally very heartbroken. Kaushalya was appealing to Ram that, Ram, please stay, otherwise I will die. If you leave, then I will die. To live without you is not going to be possible for me. So I will give up my life drinking poison. First, actually, she said that, on my behalf, you disregard your father's order. Because there is another consideration, the mother's wish. But he said, look, to uphold my father's words is my responsibility. So I can't let my father's word go in vain. Because the understanding is that if somebody tells a lie, if somebody gives a false promise, then he goes to hell. So Dasarath then would have gone to hell because he gave the word which was not fulfilled. So all these considerations of morality comes up in this regard. So Ram convinced Kaushalya. Then in the meantime, Lakshman, who was actually a very fiery personality, Lakshman kept on telling Ram that my father has become senile. He has become a puppet in the hand of Kaikeyi. He has become so effeminate and henpecked. There is no need to listen to his words. By force you take over the kingdom. But Ram again had to pacify Lakshman. Then Sita, when Ram told Sita, then Sita, Ram tried to convince Sita to stay back, and he would come back after 14 years. But Sita insisted that she should also go with him. She practically forced Ram to comply to this arrangement. That I am your wife. A wife's place is with her husband. Wherever her husband is, she is meant to be there. And so Ram had to accept Sita's plea. And so then Sita also agreed to go. I mean, Ram also agreed to accept, take Sita along with him. Lakshman also persuaded Ram that he would go with him. Then finally Ram agreed to take Lakshman. So in this way, it was decided that three of them actually would go to the forest. And so when they were leaving on a chariot, when they're going on in a chariot to the forest, Dasharath just kept on running after the chariot. Like he became so heartbroken, he started to call out to Sumantra, 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 who was riding the chariot. He was the chief minister. He stopped the chariot. But Ram kept on urging Sumantra that please don't stop, rather run faster. So the whole city was actually running after the chariot along with them. Dasharath also was running. It was a very, very painful sight, the way Ram was leaving Ayodhya. And then one of the ministers of Dasharath advised Dasharath that when you want someone to come back quickly, then don't follow him for too far. That is another Vedic consideration. If you want somebody to come back quickly, then don't go with him for too far. So let him. So in this way Dasharath was stopped from going. And Ram, after traveling, they came to for the day. Throughout the day, they came to a river bank called Tamasa River. There, they spent the night. In the morning, when Ram woke up, he found that many citizens, many of his subjects, are following him. And they are also sleeping there. So Ram decided to deceive them and go away. So he told Sumantra to take the chariot across the river. And then he asked him to drive the chariot on a visible road for some distance and then track back the chariot and then go to another direction. So that in the morning when they would start looking for Ram and the chariot, they will naturally go in that direction and then they will get they lose their way, and in the meantime, Ram will go through another way. So in this way, Ram deceived the citizens and carried on his journey. Then he came to the bank of Ganga. On the bank of the Ganga, that region was ruled by a Nishada king named Guha. And Guha was also a friend of Lord Ramchandra. So when he got the news that Ram was coming, so he prepared a royal reception for Ramchandra with elaborate foodstuff and garments, jewelry, bed, palanquin. But when Ram came and he was offered all that, Ram told him that in my mind I accept that. In my heart I accept all your offerings, but I cannot utilize them because I have taken the vow of an ascetic in a forest. So I will wear only tree bark and I'll walk on foot and I'll sleep on bare ground. So that night Ram spent on the bank of the Ganges under a peepal tree. He slept with Sita on a kusha grass. And the next morning he asked Guha to bring the sap, milk-like sap of banyan tree. And with that sap he matted his hair. And Lakshman also did that. And then they went across the river. Then traveling a great distance, they came to the ashram of Bharadvaj Muni on the bank of Ganga, on the confluence of Ganga and Jamuna. And Bharadvaj told him to spend his 14 years in his ashram. He said, you stay in my ashram, my disciples will serve you and we all will take care of you. So you stay here. But Ram declined, saying that your ashram is very close to Ayodhya. If I stay here, then many, many people will come to visit me. So I won't be able to lead the solitary life that I wanted to live in the forest. So then Bharadvaj Muni, who is a very powerful sage actually, he suggested that Ram went to Chitrakoot mountain. So Ram went to Chitrakoot, and in the meantime Dasharatha's condition was extremely critical. He was all the time crying, calling out to Ram, and he was with Kaushala, and Kaushala and Sumitra were taking care of him because he rejected Kaikeyi because of her deed. And so one night when Dasharatha was lamenting in this way, Dasharatha told Kaushala about one incident from his youth. When he was young, once he went to hunt in the forest, and he had a weapon, an arrow, that could pierce the object following the sound. It is a sound detecting arrow or missile. Like now they have developed heat detecting missiles. But this was a sound detecting. So when he was hunting in the forest, he heard a sound which appeared to be like an elephant was drinking water in a river. So he released the arrow, but actually it was a Rishi Kumar, a son of a sage, who was collecting water on a earthen pot. The sound was somewhat similar to an elephant drinking water. So Dasharatha made a mistake. And that arrow hit that boy. And he cried out in pain that who has done that to me? Like, I am an innocent son of a sage. Why somebody unnecessarily hit me with an arrow? So then Dasharatha realized his mistake. He immediately ran to that spot and he found this boy struck by his arrow. And the boy was crying that, please take out this arrow. And Dasharatha knew that if he pulled the arrow out, then he would die. But because he was in such pain, and so he pulled out the arrow, and while dying, the boy told that, my father and mother are blind. I am their only support. So please go and report to them what happened to me. So he took the dead body of the boy and went to that blind sage and told him what happened. Then that sage Andhamuni told him that I would have cursed you and you would have died immediately. But since you have come and voluntarily confessed your misdeed, so I will not curse you to die, but you will also experience the similar pain that I am feeling today due to the separation of my son. And that would be the cause of your death. Just the way I am feeling the pain and I am going to die out of that pain, same thing will happen to you. So Dasharatha narrated that incident to Kaushalya and told her that probably that sinful deed is now being fructified, is bearing its result. And that night in his sleep, Dasharatha passed away. In the morning, they found that he was dead. Immediately, the messengers were sent to bring Bharat because a son had to do the funeral rites of the father. So Bharat and Shatrughna came. They were not told that Dasharatha had already died. The messengers went and informed that they have to come back immediately. There is some urgent need. But when Bharat came, he got to know what happened. So he was extremely angry with his mother, Kaikeyi, and Manthara. And he even went to the extent of telling Kaikeyi that had you not been a woman and my mother, I would have killed you for what you have done. And anyway, Dasharatha's funeral was conducted by Bharat. And Vasishtha Muni suggested that the royal throne cannot be unoccupied. The royal throne must have its successor. So the arrangement was made for Bharat's coronation. And Bharat was brought to the court and all the royal assembly gathered there. But when they proposed that Bharat become the king, then Bharat declined. And Bharat proposed that instead let us all go to the forest and bring Ram back. So everyone liked that idea. So of course they couldn't walk on foot, so the arrangement was made that the engineers and contractors would be appointed to make roads through the forest so that the chariots and elephants and can travel through. So in a very short span of time, the roads were made and they came to the... So Bharat, with the practically the whole of Ayodhya, the army, the royal entourage, the mothers, the ministers, all were now going to the forest to bring Ram back. So when they came to Guha's place, Guha suspected that is there going to be some foul play? That why Bharat has come? Is he come with the army to harm Ram after sending him in exile? So he expressed his doubt to Bharat. But the way Bharat responded, Guha could understand that his intentions were pure and he was innocent. Then they came to Bharadvaja's ashram, traveling further. And Bharadvaj felt that his soldiers must have been so tired. So he gave them a treatment in such a way that even in the royal palace, that kind of treatment is not available. So this is the power of the sages. They have such spiritual potency and power that they can make all kinds of arrangements from nowhere. In the middle of the forest, I mean, there's elaborate descriptions of that, like as if they were in a heavenly planet. And then at that time, now Ram actually went to Chitrakoot, and there Lakshman made a hut, and there they were spending their time. So one day, they heard the sound of the trumpeting of the elephants and whining of the horses from a distance. So Ram told Lakshman, go find out what's happening. So Lakshman climbed up a tall tree, and from there he saw that this royal entourage is coming. And he could detect from the chariot flag that it was Bharat who was coming with the army. And so he shouted from there. He came down and he said, Ram, Bharat is coming with the army to attack us. Just you hide behind. Take Sita and put her in a cave and hide her there. And let us take revenge. Let us wipe out Bharat and his army. And now I am happy that I got the opportunity to take revenge. Then Ram pacified Lakshman, saying, Lakshman, Bharat is not coming to attack us. Bharat actually is coming with a plea to take me back to Ayodhya. And then he explained why Bharat would never come to harm them. So Lakshman felt embarrassed. And Ram actually told him, but if you want to become the king, then go. And Bharat will offer you the kingdom. He is also not attached to the kingdom. He is not attached to the throne. But if you are attached, then you go and enjoy the kingdom. And Lakshman was very embarrassed. And then Bharat came with the ministers, and the mothers also came, Kaushala and Sumitra. He didn't bring Koikei. And they appealed to Ram to come back. But Ram didn't accept their proposal. Ram said, no, I have come to the forest to fulfill the commitment of my father. And I cannot make him go back on his words. In the meantime, Ram was given the news that Dasarath has left his body. Ram and Lakshman started to cry due to the loss of their father. Then Bharat appealed to Ram that let me become your proxy. And let me stay in the forest for 14 years and you go and rule the kingdom. Then Ram said, no, the proxy, consideration of proxy would be there if the party is not able to fulfill the job. If one is unable to execute something, then somebody can act on his behalf. So in this way, Bharat tried in various ways to persuade Ram to go back to Ayodhya and become the king. But Ram declined and declined. Then finally, Bharat decided that he is going to give up his body. He spread the kusha grass and he sat down to give up his body, fasting in front of Ram's cottage. And Ram tried to persuade Bharat, but Bharat would not listen. So then the demigods actually came to Bharat. Demigod and rishis came and told him that Bharat, listen to your brother's words. Don't go against his words. Everything is happening with a purpose. So act to fulfill that purpose. Don't become adamant. Act according to the way it has been designed. So listen to your father. Listen to your brother, elder brother. So on their suggestion, on their plea, Bharat agreed to listen to Ram's instructions. And then Bharat then took a pair of wooden sandals and gave them to Ram. Said, please step onto that. And he decided to carry that as Ram's representation. And in the meantime, when Bharat was in Guha's ashram, Guha's place on the bank of Ganges, and he heard how Ram spent the night there and in the morning he matted his hair, he also did the same. He also matted his hair. He decided to live just the way Ram was living. And so finally, with the shoes of Ram, Bharat went back to Ayodhya. He could not stay in Ayodhya because he didn't want to stay in the capital city in absence of Ram. So he transferred the capital to Nandigram, a nearby village, and there placing Ram's shoes on the throne, and he started to conduct the affairs of the kingdom. So in this way, Bharat started to rule the kingdom. And as an ascetic, Bharat, for these 14 years, Bharat subsisted only on fruits and roots. He slept on the bare floor. As an ascetic, he led his life. Then after Bharat left, Ram decided not to stay in Chitrakoot because that place was filled with the memory of Bharat, his mother, and so he decided that he would leave Chitrakoot. So leaving Chitrakoot, they came to Dandakaranya, another forest. And in Dandakaranya, they spent 10 years living in the ashrams of different rishis. In some ashram they stayed for 2 weeks, and in some ashram they stayed up till 1 month. In this way, living in different ashrams, they spent 10 years. And then they came to Agastya Muni's ashram. And Agastya Muni also offered them to stay in his ashram. But Ram rather suggested that please identify some ashram where we should stay nearby. So then Agastya Muni suggested that they made their cottage, made their kutir on the bank of Godavari River in Panchavati. So, according to that, his instruction, he went, Ram, Lakshman and Sita went to and found a place, and there Lakshman built a cottage. So there they started to spend their days. Now one day, when Ram and Lakshman, after taking their bath in Godavari, was returning to their cottage, a Rakshasi called Surpanakha, Ravan's sister, appeared there. And seeing Ram's beauty, she became attracted to him. And she came and proposed to Ram that he marries her. And she identified herself as Ravan's sister. Actually, in that area, Ravan deputed his two brothers, Khara and Dushana, and 14,000 Rakshasa warriors to take care of Surpanakha. Because Surpanakha's husband died in a battle. It was accidentally, by mistake, the same side, the soldier of the same side killed her husband. Ravan's side killed her husband. So that was the place where Surpanakha was residing. The name of the place was Janasthan. So Surpanakha, while wandering in the forest, came across Ram and became attracted to him. So she approached and asked him, "So you handsome man, who are you?" So Ram told who he was and why he came there. And so Surpanakha proposed that I have become attracted to your beauty. So please become my husband, marry me, and we will live together. Ram told him, "Don't look, I'm already married. I have my wife. And if you get married to me, then I already have a wife. So better you approach my younger brother. He is not with his wife." So Surpanakha couldn't understand the joke. So she approached Lakshman. Then Lakshman said that, "Look, I am my brother's servant. And I'm already his slave. So you're like marrying me, because I can see that you are a very proud personality. So better you marry him only. So in this way they were sending Shurpanakha back and forth. So then finally when Ram told that, look, I'm already married, so marrying me, I already have my wife, so it won't be a very pleasant situation for you to marry me. Then Shurpanakha decided to kill Sita. Said, okay, if she is the impediment on my way, I'm going to wipe her out. So, and she went to attack Sita. So then Ram told Lakshman, Lakshman, don't fool around with this Rakshasi. Just take care of her. So then Lakshman pulled out his sword and chopped off Shurpanakha's nose and ears. Bleeding profusely, crying in pain, Shurpanakha ran back to her brother, Kara, and told what happened. Kara was extremely upset. He said, who dares to act like this? Who dares to invite his death in this way, in such an irresponsible act? So he immediately sent the 14 of his best Rakshasa warriors to kill Ram and Lakshman with Shurpanakha to identify who they were. So they approach Ram. So Ram told them that, look, why, we are living in the forest peacefully. We didn't cause any distress to you. Then why are you troubling us? And so they said that that they have been ordered to kill them. Then Ram said that if that is the case, if you want, we do not want to have any animosity with anyone, but if you are, if you have decided to become the aggressor, then we have to respond. So be prepared. Those 14 warriors were completely surprised that this two person, how this one person dares to challenge them like that. And then they all attacked simultaneously. And with 14 arrows, Ram cut their weapons. And with another 14 arrows, Ram pierced their hearts. And they all fell dead. Shurpanakha, crying in fear, ran back to Kar and told what happened. And then Kar was surprised that how can a human being behave like that? Like 14 Rakshasas were killed in no time. So he immediately arranged his entire army to gather 14,000 Rakshasas, along with his brother and general, Dushan and Trishira. And they surrounded that area, approached Ram. Ram told Lakshman to go to a cave and put Sita there, and while he would take care of these 14,000 Rakshasas. A terrible fight ensued. They shoot their weapons. And Ram, with his arrow, cut all those weapons. And then he slaughtered thousands upon thousands of those Rakshasas. Finally, all 14,000 Rakshasa soldiers were wiped out. Then Trishira said that he would deal with Ram. So Trishira came to fight with Ram. He was killed. Then Dushan came to fight with Ram. He was killed. Then finally Kara came to fight with Ram. all these battles have been very elaborately described. So I would suggest that you all read that and you'll see how exciting Ramayana can be. And it is, we have, as I said yesterday, when we are dealing with the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there has to be a suspension of disbelief. We have to accept that whatever has been described is the truth and nothing but the truth. Like, what can be impossible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So that is how we actually develop our faith in Him and develop our submission to Him. So 14,000 Rakshasas and Trishira, Dushan were killed. Kar was fighting alone with Ram. On a chariot he approached Ram. Ram cut off the head of the charioteer. With four arrows he killed the horses. Then he broke the chariot. Then Kar came down fighting. Then finally Ram just killed Kar. Shurpanakha ran. She was watching. She went to Ravan. There's something happened in between also, actually. Before Shurpanakha went, another Rakshasa who actually escaped the battle, his name was Akampan, went and reported to Ravan. But I'm not getting into the details. I will just go straight to the, just try to brief in this episode. So, Shurpanakha went and reported to Ravan. And Ravan was surprised that how can a human being deal with Kara and Dushana? Now, in the meantime, another thing happened which I would remind you all. When Ravan, when he performed severe austerity for 10,000 years to please Brahma, so finally Brahma came and Ravan asked for benediction that he would achieve immortality. Brahma would give him the boon of immortality. So like, as you remember with Hiranyakashipu, Brahma told that, look, I am also not immortal. How can I grant you immortality? So then Ravan said, okay, then you grant me the boon that I will not be killed by any Deva, any Danava, any Rakshasa, any Jaksha, any Gandharva, Kinnara, everything. But only two creatures that Ravan did not ask any immunity from are the human beings and animals. Because he thought that they are so insignificant that there is no need for getting any protection from, any immunity from them. So that's why, in this past times, Lord came as a human being, Ramchandra. And his support was the monkeys, the animals. So Ravan was surprised that a human being could display such prowess. So he asked Shurpanakha that, was he accompanied by the demigods, devas? Shurpanakha said, no. He said he didn't even take any help from his own brother who was there. He dealt with all these 14,000 Rakshasas along with Kara and Dushana single-handedly. And he wiped them all out. So Ravan said, okay, I'll go immediately and deal with him. Shurpanakha said, Ravan, that's not the way to deal with him. Like, he's extremely powerful. But there is an easier way to deal with him. And Shurpanakha described Sita's beauty and said that she will be a perfect wife for you. And Ravan was extremely lusty person. He had thousands of wives actually. Wherever he would see a beautiful girl, he would kidnap her. He would kill the family members and take her away. So this is how when Ravan heard about Sita, and Surpanaka described that if you take Sita away, then Ram will automatically die. So in this way you'll have two benefits. Ram will die and you will have the most beautiful woman in this world as your wife. So make arrangements to steal her when he is not around. Because in his presence, it will be impossible for you to steal her. So then Ravan went to Maricha. You remember Maricha? Whom Ram dealt with in Vishwamitra's ashram, who he hit with his arrow and flung him 100 yojanas, 400 miles away in the middle of the ocean. So Ravana went to Maricha and he told him about his plan. He said, Maricha, I want you to assist me. I'm going to steal this woman who is the wife of Ram. And just by hearing the name Ram, Maricha started to shake in fear. He said, Ravan, whoever gave you this advice, he is not your friend. He is your worst enemy. Because he wants you to be annihilated along with the entire Rakshasa population. Leave Ram alone. You already have so many wives. So just enjoy with all your wives, thousands of wives. So leave this Sita alone. Then Ravan said, look, I made my plan. I haven't come here to take your advice. If I need your advice, I'll tell you. Now you are my subordinate, so you listen to me, you obey my command, and if you do not, then I'm going to kill you. Then Maricha thought that either I'll be killed by Ravan or I'll be killed by Ram. So better that I get killed by Ram. So he accepted that proposal of Ravan, him, and Ravan said, okay, come. So he took him on his chariot, came to Panchavati, and there Ravan suggested that Maricha assumes the form of a golden deer. And seeing that golden deer, Sita would become so excited, so attracted, that she would ask Ram to catch the deer. So then you take Ram astray. Ram will follow you and take him at the depth of the forest. And when you take him to the depth of the forest, then imitating his voice, you call out to Lakshman for help. And then Lakshman will have to come to help. So then Sita will be without any protection. At that time, I'll go and steal her. So, according to the plan, Maricha assumed the form of a golden deer with jewel spots in his body, with a pink lotus-like pink mouth, with a horn, the tips were like blue, like sapphire. And the whole thing, her whole body, his whole body was radiating brilliantly, like a jewel, like a collection of jewels. And Sita was collecting some flowers. So she just saw that deer and she became completely captivated. Lakshman saw the deer and Lakshman said, this must be Marichi. Came as a deer. But Sita became so captivated, she started to tell Ram, please get this deer for me. And Ram felt that Sita in the forest is undergoing so many difficulties. And if she wants something, I must get it for her. There is only one thing she wanted. She doesn't have anything. She wants this golden deer. Sita was telling, you please get that deer. I will take this deer to Ayodhya with us. And so Ram just went to catch the deer. But this mysterious deer, like sometimes would appear in front of Ram, sometimes would disappear from Ram. And then again it would appear. And in this way, Ram was taken into the depth of the forest. And when Ram saw that it was not possible to catch the deer, so he just put an arrow on the bow and shot the deer. And when the deer was shot, it assumed its Rakshasa form of Maricha and called out to Sita and Lakshman, "O Sita, O Lakshman, I'm dying, I'm dying." Then Ram realized that some dubious plan is going on. And he wished that Lakshman would not leave. Before leaving, he told Lakshman to guard Sita. But now he suspected that if Lakshman leaves, then probably Rakshasas will come and take revenge. Probably they'll eat up Sita. Now, Sita heard the sound and told Lakshman, "Lakshman, your brother is in danger, so please go." Lakshman said that nothing can cause my brother any danger. So, don't worry. This is some, as I told, that this is some Rakshasa's tricks. So they are trying to cause some distress for you all. But Sita became very insulting. She started to tell Lakshman that now I can see your actual intention. You have come to the forest not because of your loyalty to your brother, but you actually wanted your brother to die so that you can enjoy me. So in this way, when Sita started to insult Lakshman, Lakshman couldn't bear to tolerate that, so finally Lakshman left. Now this is another thing, like the common story goes, like Lakshman Rekha, a circle was, but that's again not in Valmiki Ramayana. It was, anyway, so these are the things that come up when you approach Valmiki Ramayana. So then, when Lakshman was gone, then Ravan appeared there as a sannyasi. And he started to speak to Sita in a very provocative way. That, the beautiful lady, what are you doing alone in the forest? This is not the place for you. You should adorn some royal personality as his queen. And then he started to, in this way he started to speak to Sita. Then Sita told the whole story, that how she got married to Ram, and then how Ram was banished and she followed Ram. So then Ravan started to tell that that person who is in the forest doesn't have anything. Why are you with him? Rather you come with me. And then he assumed his Rakshasa form and said that I am Ravan. Like I am the ruler of Lanka. And I have defeated the demigods. I even defeated Jamraj. So come with me and I'll make you my principal queen. And you come and all my 5,000 maidservants will be attending you all the time. And in this way she just started to speak to Sita. Then Sita just said that Ravan actually said, who is Ram? He is a mortal, lost his everything, living in a forest. Then Sita says, Ram is like a swan and you are like an ugly duck. Compared to Ram, you are absolutely insignificant. And don't even cast your lusty glance upon me, because then Ram will come and vanquish you. So at that, Ravan grabbed Sita by her hair and lifted her by the other hand, holding her below her thighs. And immediately the chariot, the Pushpak Rath, Ravan's chariot, actually moves on the will of Ravan. So chariot immediately came to Ravan. And Ravan then got into the chariot. And Sita started to cry out to Ram for help. But no one dared to help. There was nobody to help. And then only Jatayu was there. Jatayu's introduction I haven't given. When Ram came to Panchavati, there he met Jatayu. Jatayu is the king of the eagles. And he was the son of Arun. Arun is the elder brother of Garuda. And he was so powerful that he defeated Indra along with his brother, Sampati. Elder brother. So Jatayu was a friend of King Dasarath also. So he told Ram that he would guard Sita when Ram and Lakshman would be away. So when Jatayu saw that Ravan is kidnapping Sita, so Jatayu came out and challenged Ravan. And a terrible battle ensued between two of them. Jatayu was so powerful that he caused a lot of distress to Ravan. With his claw, he tore open Ravan's armors. And he pulled him by his hair. And he broke his chariot. He killed his chariot driver. And the chariot fell on the ground. And this way they fought for a long, long time. And then finally, Ravan took his sword and cut off Jatayu's wings and legs. Jatayu fell on the ground. And then he took Sita away. While they were flying above a mountain, Sita saw 5 monkeys on the mountain top. So she took her upper garment and took her ornaments and tied them up on the thing and dropped them in the middle of the monkeys, hoping that probably these monkeys will give her informations to Ram. So in this way, Ravan took Sita away and took her to Lanka and tried to entice her with all kinds of provocations, all kinds of temptations, showed his opulence, showed the royal luxury that could be offered to her. But Sita was completely averse to every such proposal. And then finally, in the meantime, Ram, while coming back to the cottage, he saw Lakshman. And he asked Lakshman, what happened? Why did you leave Sita alone? Then Lakshman told Ram what happened, like how Sita was accusing him of all kinds of things. It was completely unbearable for him, so he had to leave. So then Ram and Lakshman came back, and when they came to the cottage, they couldn't find Sita. Looking for her, they could see that there was some broken chariot. And there they found some, found Jatayu, mortally wounded. Then Jatayu gave them the news that how Ravan actually stole Sita away. And after describing about that incident, Jatayu left his body. And Ravan cremated Jatayu, lit a fire. And it's very glorious the way Jatayu left his body, calling out the name of Ram in front of Lord Ramchandra. Another perfection of one's existence. And Ram personally cremated Jatayu. And so then they started to search for Sita. And while searching for Sita, all of a sudden, they found that somebody just caught hold of them. And that grip, they found themselves, Ram and Lakshman, found themselves in the grip of somebody, in a hand, and that they couldn't free themselves. The grip was so tight, so fierce. And then they found that they have been caught by Kavandha, a Rakshasa, who doesn't have legs and head, just the body and two hands. And his eyes are in his chest and his mouth is in his belly. He has only the torso. And his eyes and mouth is in the torso and just two hands. So, and he said that after a long time, I found some food. He explained that that he is Kavandha and he is now today they have become his food. So Ram said, told Lakshman that Lakshman, it seems that it's not possible to get out of this guy. Let us break his hand. So they broke his hand, arms, both of them. No, chopped his hands off, yeah. Then Kavandha asked, who are you? So Lakshman said, this is Ram and I'm his brother Lakshman. Then Kavandha became very excited. He said, so finally you have come. And then he narrated the story that he was actually a Gandharva. But after performing great austerities, he acquired such power that he became extremely proud. And one day he challenged Indra to a fight. So Indra took the thunderbolt and struck him. And as a result of that, his head and his legs went inside his mouth. And being in such condition, he appealed to Indra, Indra, please kill me. Just finish me off. You know, there's no need to live like this. Indra said, no, you have to be in this form, you have to be like this until Ram comes. And your body will have two large hands. So he asked, but how am I going to survive? So he said, Indra said, that you will have two extremely powerful hands. With that we can catch your food. And your mouth will be in your belly, so you can eat that. And when Ram comes, then you'll become delivered. And then you'll get back your Gandharva form. So he was very happy that Ram finally came and cut off his hands, and now the time has come for his deliverance. So then he asked Ram to to bury him and burn him. No, bury him, yeah. So then Lakshman dug a pit and he was buried there. And then he appeared in his Gandharva form. So Ram asked him that, please, before you go, give me the information of Ravan. Because I lost my wife, Ravan has kidnapped my wife. I am searching for my wife. If you can help me, that will be nice. So then this personality, this Gandharva, told him that I do not know about Ravan, but you can go to Rishamukh Mountain on the bank of Pampa Lake. There is the king of monkeys, Sugriv, and he'll be your ally. And with his help, you'll be able to rescue Sita. So being informed like that, Ram and Lakshman came to the bank of this Pampa, huge lake filled with blue and pink lotuses, with a beautiful surrounding. There was the ashram of Matanga Rishi, and on top of the mountain. So, and they were told that they'll find Sugriv in that mountain, and they should make alliance with Sugriv. So, okay, so I'll stop now and take questions. And so this is how the Arandakanda ends. Yes, Mother Krishna Priya. Maybe you can switch off this fan. This is making a lot of noise. Just switch it off.
We understand it's pastime and everything took place accordingly. So I know my question sounds silly, but it came to my mind. So, like when Marici called out, were they actually at a far distance away and Marici was using like his mystic power to sound close, so Ram appearing as a human being wasn't able to yell back, "No, that's not true, I'm here." I just
just watch the drama. Good point, though.
I never thought of that.
Well, then the question automatically comes, why didn't Ram as a super soul tell Sita Devi not to go?
It's drama. It's the Lord's desire.
Yeah. So that is the pastimes.
Shabari Katha comes in this kind?
Yeah. Shabari comes in Pampa.
In Pampa Sarovar.
Pampa Sarovar.
Because we thought that maybe it's not in Valmiki Ramayana.
No, it is there. I'm actually going quickly.
I understand.
Quickly.
Thank you.
Okay, since it came up, when Ram came to the Pampa, there he came across this ascetic woman, Shabari. Shabari used to serve the sages, and when the sages went back to the spiritual sky, they told Shabari that she should stay back and wait till Ram's arrival. And when Ram came, after getting his darshan, she would go back. So when Ram came, Shabari received Ram with great honor and told Ram that this is what happened. Then she lit a fire and entered into the fire. And from that fire emerged a celestial body decorated with beautiful jewels and ornaments. And she went back to the spiritual sky. So Savari's episode is there. Yeah, also there. This is like she, when she offered the fruits, she, because they were picked from the forest, she wanted to make sure that they were, so she tasted first and offered it to Ram. And out of the love for his devotee, the Lord accepted that. Yeah.
Just real quick, I was wondering, the 14 years in particular doesn't seem that significant if everybody lived 100,000 years. I was wondering if that number was significant as far as a curse goes, or why 14 years? I always wondered.
Yeah. Well, that is the thing. Actually, it was 14 years because Ram ruled for 11,000 years after that when he went back. Yes, Shyamhari?
Huh? I was going to ask the same question about 14 years.
Okay. Lot can happen in 14 years, even in comparison to 100,000 years.
Hare Krishna. Guru Maharaj, I heard this in some lectures that that it's not possible that Ravan can actually touch Sita Devi. So actually, from this pastime, it is actually an expansion of Sita Devi. Is
yeah,
that actually
right,
true?
Right. That's a very good point. Actually, when Ravan was about to kidnap Sita, Sita took shelter of Agni, because it's the custom to have the fire burning, which burns continuously. That's a Vedic custom. This fire, and so that fire, Agnidev was present, so Sita took shelter of Agni, and then a Maya Sita appeared. So Ravan actually stole that Maya Sita. This incident actually comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to South India, one Ram Bhakta Brahman invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house to have lunch. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to his house, he found that he didn't cook anything. And he was lamenting, how can I live, how can I survive when Rakshasa Ravan has stolen Sita away. So he was lamenting that Sita, Rakshasa Ravan has stolen Sita. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified him by saying that Ravan couldn't touch Sita Devi. What Ravan stole is actually Maya Sita. And then afterwards, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu retrieved some Puranic statements. He found it and he took and showed it to him to confirm. And we can see the link also. Maya Sita was stolen by Ravan. So when Sita was rescued by Ram, there was an Agni Pariksha. So at that time, Maya Sita disappeared and original Sita came out from the fire. Hare Krishna. So any other question? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare. It's up to you to decide. It's in